Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 19.5 of Comic Timing. Well, you're probably wondering why the hell there's an episode 19.5 when it should be about time for episode 20 to be coming out. Well, I have an explanation for that. And quite frankly, I can blame the computer for that, and let me explain exactly what happened. Earlier this week, we recorded episode 20 with the usuals, as it were. Matt S. joined us for that, and we even had Chris Chavez, otherwise known as Equinox, on the forums join us for that for a little while, at least. And then Steve Bryant was our main guest for that, and we actually had a really fun conversation with Steve about his career, about independent comics in general, about some things he might want to do in the future, about the rise of his career from just being a webcomic guy to now being an actual comic guy, and so on and so forth. But there were some audio issues with that. Now, before we even get into the audio issues, there were also some sickness issues, as it were, as pretty much everybody was under the weather that day. Steve had a bit of a sore throat going, and Matt was feeling a bit sickly himself. Hopefully he's feeling much better now. And I was full of allergies like you would not believe. In fact, I still am right now. That's why I might sound a little bit nasal. But that didn't stop us from recording, and we actually recorded about an hour and a half worth of stuff. Now, we started off the episode with Steve on Skype, and after a while, his cable modem crapped out on him, and we had to switch over to the phone for Steve. Now, we can do that with Skype, so we were able to do that with Skype pretty easily. However, we had to stop the call and then start it again. When we stopped the call, the entire recording ended up out of sync. Now, for those of you who don't know the term out of sync, that means that on my end, what I was saying was not in the same spots as what they were saying. When we were doing the call, it sounded perfectly fine, but when we recorded it, it was completely out of sync. So I would say something, and they would be in the middle of saying something in the recording, which is something that I definitely did not want to happen, but that's just the way things turned out. So what do we do about this? Well, Steve has graciously accepted an opportunity to come back on the show in 2 weeks to basically re-record this. So episode 20, as it was, will not be coming out this week. I'm thinking I might actually skip episode 20 for now and then go back to it if that's not as difficult to understand as I think it is in my head. So we'll just do episode 21 this upcoming week, and we might have a guest joining us for that, but that one's currently up in the air. If not, then I'm sure we'll have some fine conversation with some folks that we know so well, and then I'll do episode 20 a week after that with Steve and Matt and possibly even Damien, as it's about time to do a Rogues Gallery, and I know that Damien is good friends with Steve Bryant, as he's one of the guys who set up the interview with Steve in the first place. So that is currently the situation. I didn't want to leave you guys in the lurch and just wonder what the hell's going on. I just had to let you guys know about that. So I apologize profusely to everyone involved, especially Matt, because, well, he was sick, and he still took the time to actually help us out with that recording. But again, the recording is just so bastardized that I would not want to put out a substandard version of the episode like that. I want to thank Chris as well for joining us. He came in about halfway, and he stuck around for about 20 minutes and asked a couple questions to Steve and gave us a little bit of his thoughts on Steve's work, and he was very, very good in the process of that. I'm sure we're going to have Equinox back on sometime soon, because Chris Chavez is a very, very fine gentleman, and I want to thank Steve for putting up with us that day because, well, we were all over the place. Everybody was all over the place. We didn't exactly know what was going on because obviously we needed to stop the recording and then start it again, stop the recording and then start it again. It was a whole bunch of craziness going on, but he was able to work it out very well. And even if it is an episode that we're going to have to redo, it was just fun talking to Steve, period. So that's the current situation with that. Now, I'm not going to leave you without some comic book thoughts because, well, quite frankly, that would just not be an episode of Comic Timing now, would it? Because we're all about the thoughts. We're all about the thoughts from the comic book fan to the comic book fan. And, well, my thoughts this week are on discontinuity in comic book art. And, well, quite frankly, we've had a lot of that lately with a certain event that I've been enjoying a lot. And, well, we had an episode on the delays of Civil War, Once Upon a Time. And you know my thoughts on that. So my thoughts were pretty much, it's a pain in the ass, but I'm going to live through it. Thinking that we were going to get a very, very good product out of what was eventually going to come out. Well, so far, Civil War has been very, very good. I enjoyed Civil War number 4. It wasn't my favorite issue, but it certainly added some points that were necessary to the story itself, and there was a key death in that, and I'm not going to give away exactly. Okay, you know what? I will give it away. So spoilers right here. So spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. A major, major death occurs in this. And mind you, when they say major death, I was expecting somebody like maybe Iron Man or somebody like maybe Hawkeye comes back on the scene and dies again or something along those lines, which would have been really silly. But instead, Goliath, formerly known as Black Goliath, and I'm glad that he's no longer known as Black Goliath because that was just racial stereotyping right there. But yes, Goliath is dead at the hands of the mighty Kor. And if you're wondering what the hell a Kor is, well, it's a Thor clone. That was the whole situation in Civil War number 4. So Thor ends up killing Goliath by putting a lightning bolt completely through his body. And everyone is shocked and completely beyond words that this just happened because they thought that this Thor clone was going to help them out, and he just goes entirely rogue. Now, I'm perfectly fine with that, all right? It was a very, very touching scene. It was well done. I enjoyed it. But, and a major, major but, in the next issue of Civil War Frontline, which just recently came out, there was a major discontinuity in art, as that entire scene plays out entirely differently. So I'm wondering here, are the editors just not talking to each other? Is that the problem at Marvel right now? Because I'm pretty peeved about this. If you picked up Civil War Frontline, and you've read pages, I believe, pages 8 and 9, okay? You see Thor come onto the scene, pretty similar to the way that he came on the scene in Civil War number 4. You then see him electrocute Goliath. No hole through the body. He's just plain old electrocuted. Totally different scene. And honestly, much more gory to me. Because, well, hey, if you rip a hole through somebody, that's something you can't really stop. But this is a prolonged electrocution of Goliath, which all occurs on this one panel. This didn't happen in the issue. It didn't come anywhere near happening in the issue. Now, they've had small art discontinuities on covers before, and I'll give you an example of that. If you went from Civil War Frontline, I believe it was number 3, to then Amazing Spider-Man, when the whole thing about Peter Parker occurred, when he reveals himself as Spider-Man, well, you saw Iron Man standing on one side of him on one cover, and then you saw Iron Man standing on the other side of him on another cover. And this is all happening at the same time. So unless Iron Man developed teleportation powers, then this couldn't have possibly happened. And yet, it made it onto the stands. So easy to catch this. So incredibly easy to fix. And yet, they just could not do that. So I'm wondering here, okay? I'm asking myself, what is wrong with Marvel's editorial staff? Do they just not talk to each other? Do they just not get along? Is that it? Is there like one side of the bullpen with the other side of the bullpen that just don't talk to each other? Because they have to. That's what being an editor is all about. You correspond with your other editors to make sure that everything is going exactly according to plan, that nothing seems out of place. And so far, that's not what we've been getting out of Civil War. I'm still enjoying Civil War. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying it profusely, but that is just something I do not want to see. Another example, Annihilation is going on right now in Marvel Comics. Just read Annihilation number 2. Very well done. If you picked up the recent issue of She-Hulk, you'll be asking yourselves, when the hell is this issue of She-Hulk supposed to be taking place? Because you have Phyla, who is the new Captain Marvel, who's actually, I believe, Genis Vell's sister, and that's what her relation to the Captain Marvel family is, as she is the daughter of the original Captain Marvel. And you've got Moondragon there, and you've got Thanos there in his old outfit, as opposed to the outfit he's been wearing in Annihilation. So when does Annihilation happen exactly? Because all these people shouldn't be where they are for Star Fox's trial. Star Fox is on trial. That's the whole thing about this issue. And this one, I'm not really giving anything away by mentioning that because, well, that's the plot of the issue. And I'm not saying exactly what happens in the issue. There's a major reveal about Thanos that, if it stays in continuity, explains a lot about Thanos and his relationship to Star Fox in the past, as they are brothers. They're both from Titan, and they were both raised together. And a major reveal occurs in this that just left me floored. But all of these characters, except for She-Hulk and Star Fox, are in Annihilation right now. If you picked up Annihilation number 2, they're all there. Thanos looks entirely different and is acting entirely different. Moondragon is involved with Annihilation. She's wearing the exact same outfit, so at least that makes me happy. But she's in a completely different place than where this issue pegs her. And same thing with Phyla, as Phyla is also involved with the Annihilation wave right now. And she's trying to fight it off. And yet, there she is. Marvel is not the only ones to blame with this discontinuity in art. It has happened in the past with DC. An example, with Infinite Crisis. There were certain scenes that occurred in Infinite Crisis that then played out slightly differently in their corresponding titles. And I'll give an example here, actually, of Teen Titans. When the whole Superboy thing occurred, where Superboy was, you know, ripping apart the Titans and all that, you had different scenes in Teen Titans. Now, I understand that this is to sort of build upon it, and I understand that this is sort of to add more to the situation, but the actual scenes that we were seeing in Infinite Crisis were not the actual scenes we saw in that particular issue of Teen Titans. That is a problem. It's a major problem that needs to be fixed. There were also a couple of instances where I believe the death of Maxwell Lord was portrayed slightly differently. Perhaps a different angle, I believe, when Wonder Woman's snapping his neck, that unless they have multiple cameras in the area where Checkmate is, well, then this couldn't have possibly occurred. All I'm asking, I know that the editorial staffs at Marvel and DC and everywhere are not perfect. I understand that. They're human beings. I just ask for perhaps a little more of a correspondence between editors, because a little bit of correspondence might be all you need to ensure that mistakes like this do not happen in the future. Because what happened in this particular issue of Civil War Frontline has almost turned me off to Civil War Frontline entirely. Because Paul Jenkins can do better than this. The art team that is on Civil War Frontline could do better than this. All they had to do was look at McNiven's art for Civil War. And I know that McNiven's art was late, so I understand that perhaps this might have been the scene that they thought was going to play out, and it just turned out to play out differently once McNiven brought his art in. But if you're delaying a title as long as you have, can't you go back and fix one page of an already completed comic book just to make it seem as if it was happening in the same universe as your major crossover? That would probably be helpful for you. So there's my little rant on art discontinuity, so that we don't go a week without at least some of my thoughts on comic books. Once again, I thank Steve Bryant for joining us for episode 20. I thank Matt for getting out of his sick bed to join us for that. And Matt and I will be back next week for episode 21. Once again, episode 21 will be next week, and then we'll do episode 20 all over again with Steve Bryant. And there's also a crossover in the works. I'm not going to give away anything yet, but expect something huge out of the works in the month of November. And again, nothing is confirmed yet about that, so I don't want to give anything away, but we're going to be having some interesting events here on Comic Timing. I want to remind everybody that the 22 pages number 2 is Superman Confidential number 1. Superman Confidential number 1 is written by Darwin Cook and is drawn by Tim Sale, or Sale, depending on who you ask, and that is coming out in the first week of November. So anybody who has not decided to pick up Superman Confidential number 1, if you want to be in on the conversation, all in hell, pick up Superman Confidential number 1. It's still about a month away, so you got time to think about it, but if you want to be involved with 22 pages number 2, I highly recommend picking that up. Also, a reminder that the next Rogues Gallery will probably either be next week or the week after that, depending on whether or not Damian can join us for the Steve Bryant interview. Chances are he will probably join us for that if he's going to do his Rogues Gallery as well. So Rogues Gallery is upcoming. I want to thank everybody who sent in questions for Steve. Steve was more than happy to answer them, and he will answer them yet again when he does return to the air of Comic Timing. So your questions will be answered. So I want to thank Matthew Guy, John Mayo, Equinox, Miskatonic, and Blue Tyson for sending in your questions. So certainly want to thank that. Also want to thank Equinox for giving us a small little Comic Timing banner on his signature on the Comic Geek Speak forums, as that is certainly nice of him to get the word out there. We've been doing pretty well on iTunes as of late, but we could do better. So that's why I want to ask everybody out there who has not submitted an iTunes review, if you can please take the time out of your schedule to just write a quick review for us on iTunes, I would be greatly appreciative of that. So if you can, write us a review on iTunes. Let people know what you think about Comic Timing, good or bad, mind you. I want to know what you guys think, so let me know. If you don't want to write it on iTunes, just send us an email over at comictiming@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to read it on the air. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley if you can. The links will be in the show notes and on the main page. And we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcasts.com. And please check out the Bullpen Bulletins podcast over at bullpenbulletinspodcast.com, as that is Vince B. and David Price with their brand new work. So I want to definitely plug them there. And for anybody who was wondering about when I was going to be on the air in New Hampshire, I actually already was on the air. I just found this out very recently. My piece has already aired, and I want to give you information on the airing of that piece right now. You can actually listen along with the airing of it at, get your pens and pencils ready, at www.nhpr.org/node, that's N-O-D-E, /11385. That's www.nhpr.org/node/11385. You can find my comic book piece, which aired on New Hampshire Public Radio there, along with the piece that aired with it, which was actually about manga, which was pretty interesting. So they wanted to have a little bit of an American flavor in there, so they aired my piece along with it. So anybody who wants to listen to some more Ian Levinstein, you can do so over there. And I want to send a shout-out to Sean Whalen and Jim Seguin over at the Raging Bullets podcast. Part 4 of their 4-part episode 25 will be coming out today, actually, this Friday, I believe. So go ahead and listen to that. And there will be an audio comment from myself on there. So if you want to hear my take on Watchmen and giving some praise to Sean and Jim for lasting 25 episodes, you can find it over there. And they're over at RagingBullets.com. And that's pretty easy to find on the web. So that pretty much has everything that I wanted to say on this particular episode. And again, apologies for this, folks. It'll happen in the world of podcasting every now and then, but I didn't want to leave you guys without at least half of an episode here, so just wanted to record this nice and quickly for you guys and give you about 19 minutes worth of conversation. So once again, thanks to Matt, thanks to Steve Bryant, thanks to Chris Chavez, and hopefully you'll hear them on the air here on Comic Timing sometime soon. And as always, there's always time for comics.